The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 453. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
How you doing? How you doing?
Brett Murdoch. I'm waiting for him to unmute himself. Nothing. All right. And Brian Majoma.
What's up, people?
All right. No Chris action. What's going on with him, man? He's like hailstorms or something?
Yeah, he's got some storms happening over there. His hail and all kinds of other crazy stuff. So he's probably not going to be in there for this one. I mean, I could definitely understand why. I did ask him though if he had a garage for his car because if you got hail going on, you know, at least some. And he said it's pretty good size hail. So if he's got hail hitting his car, that's going to leave some serious dents and stuff.
Oh yeah. Over it. Oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Hail's no joke.
All right, people, we're back with another one. Let's get right into it. Questions. One subset. It's kind of funny that Brett's muted right now because this first comment here is actually for Brett.
I'm back. I'm problems like Pizza's apparently outsourcing a DoorDash driver. It's DoorDash driver don't have any fucking change. So here we are, just fucked.
Oh, man. So. Anyway, so Brett, quick question, quick comment for you. He goes, this is from one subset. Kudos to Brett for his rant on episode 451. Keep it up, Brett. Some people need to hear the truth.
Oh, dope. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah. This is regarding your epic rant about, people wanting to change to your Bethesda games. You're like, no, stop it. Leave my games alone.
People want to go out of their way to piss in my Cheerios. I don't get it.
Yeah. Anyway, first question here from Mr. One Subset is about Starfield. He goes, am I the only person who has several different game saves with different key choices being made? So I guess he like lines them up or something. How do you guys do
it? Oh, damn, man.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Not me. Like, I forget what I'm doing already anyway. So, like, I will just have abandoned game files. They're just like, what is this from? Where is this? Like, I kind of know what you're talking about. Like, sometimes if I'm like, I don't know if this is a good idea, I'm going to save aside from my normal game save. But as soon as I decide like to keep going down that line, that's my save game file. And then I'll look back and I'll be like, why do I have a level 6 save? Who the huh? So no.
Yeah, I do. But like Brett said, you're kind of like have like a whole bunch of game saves where you don't know what the hell's going on. And for some reason, Starfield, I'm pretty sure all the other Bethesda games did this. Like they, you know, when you save your game, you do those manual saves. You have like a screenshot of the thing. This one doesn't. So it's just like it's the save, the level you are, and I think the world or planet or if you're on your ship. If it's a save when you're on your ship, you're fucked because it's just like, oh, I'm in the Razor Leaf. Okay, that doesn't really tell me anything. But yeah, I do the saves. Even though I haven't gotten back to any. Oh, I did go back once at the very end. Brian, we discussed, I initiated a new game plus and I instantly regretted it and I went back to my old save.
Yeah. Brian, do you have multiple saves?
Yes, but not like that. I'm kind of like with Brett here where I just have one save where I just try and do like similar-esque choices. And then next time I go around, I'll do like random choices again. It's like it's kind of like how you platinum Infamous, you know, like you do the good choices first time and then bad choices next time or vice versa, you know. But I'm interested to know how that actually plays out. Like, how do you keep track of what choices you've done on what save and how that works out? Because I get the idea that sometimes you go back and you do a different choice just to see how the outcome was, but never in the sense of having different saves where you can branch off and do multiple timelines. That at the same time. You know, so yeah, that's interesting.
Also, what I do is I do saves where I have to go through a place. Like, let's say I'm in a cave and there hasn't been any loading places, and I know there's going to be a fight or something significant. I save it there just in case if I die or something happens or glitches out or whatever. I can load it from there instead of, you know, having to reload like the entrance of the cave. Because this game does have some of that stuff where, you know, some of these lairs, caves, buildings, like they can get a pretty, I don't know if complex is the right word, but really like confusing to backtrack your way. And you have to backtrack every time. You can't fast travel out of the places. So, you know, the left bumper button is pretty useful because it sometimes works, sometimes doesn't, but it's pretty useful to trace back. But yeah,
so you get lost like in Remnant. Remnant, you get lost all the time. All these caves, they all look the same and shit. Do you get lost? Yeah.
Is that what's going on? I mean, it's not. I mean, because yeah, there is a lot of similarities between a lot of the buildings. But you know, there's at least one you get mission. A
marker. I don't know if I'm still early on, but I would get that little marker and it'd tell me like destination, you know, the distance, how far. Well, you don't get that in all the locations.
In Starfield, you don't get a specific marker, but if you press a button, it'll show you like a trail. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes helps, but sometimes it doesn't work, which is weird. Because, yeah, there's in particular, there's one mission where everything is blowing up, shit is burning up, and you have to get out of there. And everyone's shooting at you, and you're like, how the hell do I get out of this place? But yeah,
it's like Call of Duty.
I do save a lot. Okay. I'm with you. I'm with you. One subset.
Nothing wrong with that. Save a lot.
Shout out to Bob Hits for subscribing.
Yo yo yo.
Good stuff.
Shout out to Bob Hits.
All right, man. Next question here, also from One Subset. Is there an RPG revival going on with all these new RPGs being released? I think we've gotten pretty much the same amount of RPGs lately. I think we just have a lot more high profile ones coming out. But like, there's always been a steady stream of them, you know.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of people play them that normally don't play RPGs. I think that's thanks to that Elden Ring. Phil, Elden Ring really opened that door to a lot of people that were really into that type of stuff. Yeah. Oh, I could do this.
Shout out to Mop Hits for the bits. But the thing is, I will admit, I live in a bubble when it comes to this stuff because, like, I play a lot of RPGs. All the people I know play RPGs. So to me, I'm like, they've never gone away. So I could be wrong about that, but
I think there has been.
What do you define as an RPG anymore?
Yeah, that's another good question, yeah. Isn't it? You know,
but I think there has been. We just happen to be in the precipice. Well, not the precipice. We're already here, but of an influx of games that we haven't gotten in a long time. And it just happens to be the RPG wave. You know, we've gotten Starfield, which I would consider an RPG. Baldur's Gate 3, which I would consider an RPG. Cyberpunk, Phantom Liberty, kind of in a way. But yeah.
Oh, I'd totally call Cyberpunk. There are several roles that you can play.
Remnant 2, that's an RPG.
Is it?
Yeah,
Isn't it a first-person shooter?
A character? No.
So?
No. You have guns, but you have to level up your character. You get skill points, and then you have to build those up. And it's just like any other RPG. Same thing with The Division.
It sounds like you just described Call of Duty.
Oh, well,
You don't update any of that stuff.
Yeah. Call of Duty. But you upgrade, don't you? You gain skills. Brett, this goes back to your point. What even is an RPG anymore?
You're talking about...
Here's the thing.
That's multiplayer. That's
Remnant
not the campaign.
Remnant has viable builds. You can build to do different stuff.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it isn't. I thought it was a first person game, but that's cool.
Well, first of all, it's third person.
Third person shooter.
Oh, third person. Okay. Cool.
You get magic abilities and things like that depending on the weapon.
Yeah, I think it was a first person game.
I don't know.
Because you hear shooter, you think first person.
You do this a lot. You do that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't drank that much lately. Just a little bit, you know.
That's what drinkers normally drink.
Just a little bit.
That's what they.
Yeah. I'm taking you guys' word for it. If you say an RPG, it's an RPG. I can't say otherwise. I haven't played it, you know.
And even the publisher,
it's the biggest RPG as a Souls game is. Come on.
I'm not arguing with you. What the fuck? I agree with you. Sure.
Why are you so mad?
You're getting mad at me. I'm like, I agree with you guys. Fuck you, Tony.
Tony, I'm
going
to need you to calm down, man.
Brett's so used to getting jumped on. He's like he's biting even if nobody's attacking.
Bro, I'm half feral. You know how it is.
When you spend a majority of your time customizing your character's loadout and build out, then there you go, RPG.
That's kind of where I qualify it.
Yeah, that's it. And that's why when I argue with people, they're like, "Oh, you play that shooter, the Division. That's not RPG. It's an action RPG. There is a lot of numbers involved."
Honestly, I would call Remnant more of an RPG than Final Fantasy.
How's that?
Because Final Fantasy, you have the one role that you can play and not much build variance. Like, no matter how differently you and I make our characters, we're still essentially playing the 16. Same character.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's different classes and stuff.
not the entire series, because that'd be a whole
As the years have gone on, Final Fantasy has become less and less RPG-like.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like how Adam says, "Yeah, the game is RPG like because you get all those numbers." And I'm like, "Yeah, all the numbers when the damage shows up when you shoot the bullet." Oh, not that,
but the gear. You look at gear set, the percentage, and you're seeing what the resistance to flame damage. That's no different than magic. It's like resistance to certain magic. You're like, "Oh, okay." It's just put in a different light.
Going back to the original question though, are we seeing more RPGs lately?
It keeps people engaged.
But I think I'm with Brett. I think we're going to have to draw a line in the sand and declare what's an RPG and what isn't, because everything
every game has RPG elements now.
It's what hip hop is now. What is hip hop or what is rap and pop? It's all
hip hop. No stranger to danger. Danger and seven. Logitech Lee.
There you go. You know, we need to get DJ Red Alert and Kid Capri to explain what real hip hop is, because what we get now is not that. It's all poppy. They're singing. Rappers shouldn't be singing and auto tune and getting all these. No. But they do it. So what is that? Is that hip hop or is it just pop? Music. And what's pop music? That's just popular music. So is that not popular? What the hell is this shit? It's all bullshit. Fuck it.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on here. Who do we have next? Kishak in the house. All right. How much of a competitive advantage does the Xbox leak give to Microsoft's competitors now that they know what Xbox's roadmap looks like for the next generation? Do you think the other console manufacturers are now more poised to know what to strike for next gen? The thing is, the leaks are like not final, you know, everything released hasn't been finalized yet. So whatever the plans may be for next gen, they could change them. They may not be the same right now, you know? So I don't think competitors may take some notes or whatever. Sure. But I don't think they're gonna be like, "Oh, Xbox is doing this. We need to do this instead." You know?
I also think the competitor is not as far as like secret projects. I think to an extent, Sony knows what the roadmap is
Sony, right?
Sony and Nintendo doesn't give a shit about it. They just
Nintendo doesn't count. So it's by competitors. We mean Sony. Here's the thing, though. Sony is a little like. First of all, there wasn't a lot fucking exposed. There's not really a roadmap there to respond to. And even it was like an old roadmap. But I'm going to throw a little bit of shade by saying, like, Sony's way too busy dealing with its clusterfuck dumpster fire of 2 years of live service games that it already has coming down the pipeline. So it's trying to deal with its own shit right now. Because honestly, as a PlayStation fan, here's what you can look forward to: live service game, other live service game, possibly canceled live service game, and then a live service game. So that's going to be fun. And it's honestly like development is too long in the tooth to change directions, because it's been like 3 years since we've heard they had all these things in development. So like they can't change direction on them now. They have to do what the fuck Redfall did and just like, fuck it, just put it out so we can move past it.
Here's like I can understand why somebody like Sony would want to do services games, but the thing is that the service game industry is also such a tough room where is the zeitgeist, whatever is in the zeitgeist seems to sit on the top, and then there's everybody else.
Well, there was that stuff that came out from the CMA report that Jim Ryan sent the email out talking about that and saying, oh, no, we get that. But our goal within those 10 games is to establish some of them and integrate some of them into our current IPs. He didn't say which one it was, but then that's concerning because it's like, wait, are you going to start adding?
It's Uncharted Online. Oh, there you go. Here we go.
Uncharted. You know, and those type of things. It's like, is that what we are going to expect from these things? What happened to the single player story mission? It's like, oh, yeah, that'll be that. But then if you want certain things, then you got to go down this road to get it.
Here's the thing. One thing about a service game is, in a way, it sort of justifies them paying all that money for those games because they have a constant revenue going on, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. If they have a constant revenue going on in the game, they're not blowing a bunch of money at once. And then the other thing is that as far as those service games go, it's like, yeah, they do cost quite a bit of money, but, you know, they don't cost nearly as much as, let's say, doing a full-on Uncharted with, you know, full-resolution characters and all that other stuff. So
it keeps the constant revenue in, and they can keep paying their staff so they don't have to let go of all the contractors.
Adam, we got a response here. And I want I want you to counter, reply. Blitz says Jimbo has come out this week saying they are not banking on all those to be hits and that they are not taking away from their normal output. We will still get the games PlayStation is known for.
And Jimbo, and also Jimbo has been known to utterly lie. So he is saying that he came out to say that to quell the bullshit that came out before.
But he doesn't have to change anything. It's adding. That's the whole thing. It could still all be there. And then all this other stuff and then new things that weren't originally part of the game are going to get integrated to that part. So then you can't bitch because it's like you never had it to begin with. So don't complain. But that's a new feature. Yes, new feature in this new payment system. That's what it is. Enjoy it.
Yeah. But anyway, going back to the main question, my thing is like what happened in the Xbox leak that another competitor would be like, oh, maybe we should try that, or maybe we should try to avoid that. I didn't really see anything big unless they'd be like, oh, let's do a cylindrical console too. You know, like, that's really even important, you know?
I don't know. It's almost like they might know a console is coming in the future, another console or, you know, iteration is coming in the future. To be honest, I think that probably Sony already knew all of that.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. I'm sure. Just like how Phil said he thinks that there's going to be something coming up real soon too. So from Sony, they have a general idea about when these things are going to be coming. They also know what exclusive games that each other has. You know,
they all have Slugworths. There's no Oompa Loompa Factory, Willy
Wonka. Yeah, you know,
there's always somebody who's like, hey, guess where I just worked? Or I was just over there. I got my buddy.
You know, people going from different companies and stuff, they all know what's going on.
Even beyond that, there's corporate espionage. That's a thing.
That is a thing. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think a lot of that stuff is really surprising. It's only surprising to us because we're the general consumer.
Yeah.
They, as general consumers, they don't release all this data out because the reasoning is because they don't want to hurt their brand. If you people know what the fuck is coming on soon, it literally kills off whatever thing that they have coming up recently. Right? Yeah. Like, if you knew, there was going to be, let's say we knew for fucking sure that there was a new PlayStation, a new slim PlayStation, a new, thing. Like, other than the silly, all of the rumors that are all floating around right now. Like, if we genuinely knew, do you think that it would also, would you think that that would also hurt the sales of things that they have currently going on right now? Yeah. Yes, it would. People will forego buying the things that are coming out now because they're like, ah, you know what? I'll just wait until the next thing comes along. And that's precisely why they don't release all this information all at once. So this situation with this thing, it's like, okay, I think for business, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt anything. But I think for consumers, it makes things seem like, consumers think twice. And that's precisely why Phil had to go in and when that came out and say, no, this is, you know, wait to see the final release stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really more for just, you know, the fanboys to eat up, to be honest. which they did, which they did the entire week was just eaten up by this story, you know?
If you are, I know it says a lot of PlayStation fans that are like literally like, you know, pulling out the torches like, yes, we won.
Oh, they were celebrating this week because, you know, Xbox's big L, they were celebrating like crazy this week.
It's not officially, if it was really something that was like something of note, like let's say like their whole architecture for some new tech that they were coming out that nobody knew about. Yeah. Now that's some real shit, you know? Like that's some real, like the, all this stuff is just like the only thing is like, I'm sure, again, I'm sure it's like, it, again, for, as consumers, it seems, you know, it seems like, oh my God, what? Oh, what? We didn't know. Yeah, because they didn't want to tell you. So.
Yeah. Brett, what's up?
Also, I'm going to go ahead and say there would have been something. They would have found, like, if Phil Spencer had to park a little further away from work than normal, they would have reported on it as Sony's big win and, like, the Microsoft big L. Phil Spencer had to walk an extra 5 minutes to work, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is not, I'm just going to say, this shit is not newsworthy. It is not a gotcha moment. It is, honestly, like, it's just fucking boring, right? Like, I'm at least weirdly sometimes entertained by the console war. It's like driving by a train accident. Like, you can't help but look. But, like, this play, man, I'm bored. I'm so bored of it because it's a big, fat, fucking nothing burger. And we're all, I guess, pretending, not here, but, like, half the goddamn internet seems to be pretending that it's something just so that they can stand for Sony, which is incredibly stupid. But more to the point, it's fucking boring. At least throw some real hot fire. Come on, guys.
I mean, like, you know, to be honest, like, you know, like the fact that they like them deciding to do a console without any sort of a physical media drive, to be honest, that we, not that we knew it for sure, but you could see that the industry is moving toward that direction. You know, yeah. There's constant rumors that the next PlayStation would have no disc drives on it. Right. There's also the idea. Also, you got to understand, like with, you know,
my PS5 Xbox, doesn't have a disc drive. I got the digital
Xbox,
one.
The Xbox, you know, the new, was it the Xbox's ecosystem is really not conducive to actual consoles at all. They're looking to have it on everything that you can sit in front of. Right. So all your games exist on a digital world. And to be honest, that's exactly what the industry wants from you, wants you to do. And we're all giving it to them. You don't get to own your shit no more. No. And they say to you, hey, you can have it as long as you want as possible. But no, you can't, especially when if it gets delisted or one of the companies decides to go out of business. So,
yeah, if it goes out of business, then you lose everything. Like, oh yeah,
lose everything.
A bunch of people bought a bunch of games, and like, oh, yeah, now
and then
what?
And then your folk, you know, all one of you who bought a Google Stadia. Yeah, yeah. Well, where are all those games going to be in the future? They ain't going to be there no more.
Carlos was our boy, John Christ, man.
So, yeah, man, shout out to John Christ in the stadium, man.
Yeah. So, like, again, like, you know, it's unfortunate, like yes, we know, and we can see it all coming in the cards, you know, with the system that doesn't have any sort of drive on it. It's just a box. Just a box.
Yeah, so we're clicking a pen.
Oh, that's just me.
Okay. See, Manny, thank you for actually owning up to it.
Every
time I ask that question, you know, it stops.
Well, listen, every single time there's something going on, like I'll fess up to it. Unlike some people.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, some people just don't.
I never know if it is me.
I love it.
No, I'm actually playing with the Vita charger here.
Nice.
So, yeah, just press the button.
All right, so move on. Mob hits.
Damn, my microphone's sensitive.
Yeah, it is. Who's also joining us tonight, Mob Hits?
Sup, Hits?
All right, do you guys think Jim Ryan is being cryptic with his statement about being less reliant on third-party games and shifting focus more on first-party games? Is this statement nonsense when we all know the formula behind PlayStation success has been third-party games starting from the PlayStation 1?
No, their success has always been their first parties.
Yeah.
Think about the PlayStation 1. What are the biggest game?
The biggest people think of is
Final Fantasy VII and Metal Gear Solid.
Final Fantasy, Metal Gear, you know, the 1998, right? That era. I would say this. If they didn't have those, still have those showcases like Demolition Derby, like Loaded, like all those other titles that were still sitting in there, I think it would to give people an idea as to what the future of the console was. I don't think it would have done it. Obviously, yes, having your Mortal Kombats, having your Metal Gears and all those other things will definitely help. But having those also those initial showcases also were key to your console
and sport games.
Yeah, and obviously sports games.
It's definitely been a mix, but I feel like they've been less reliant on third parties to sell their systems than they were in the past. Because like you mentioned, Metal Gear Solid, Final Fantasy, Spyro, Crash Bandicoot.
Which all
were PlayStation 1. That was to play about PlayStation 2. All those big third parties, right? Final Fantasy 10, fucking Grand Theft Auto 3, the Prince of Persia games.
Those came out. And the thing about those is those came out at the onset. Those came out in the early 2000s, very close to their launch. What was it? Metal Gear and all those other games came toward the end.
Yeah. Except Metal Gear Solid 2. That came out at the beginning too.
No, yeah, all those things came out in the beginning. It's like, Metal Gear Solid 2, Final Fantasy 10, Kingdom Hearts, those are actually all early PlayStation, in the first few three years of the original of PlayStation 2.
And I feel go ahead.
But again, like, I would say that also their first parties in there did help to sort of sell that thing. But then again, like, I feel like 2 was building off of the momentum of what 3 had. Two is building off the momentum of 1.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
But I think the hardest their first parties have ever had to work is in the 3 era.
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
Yes, because everybody said the PlayStation 3 was a piece of shit.
By the way, when did Jim Ryan make these statements? I haven't seen this. I'm guessing nobody knows.
I don't know.
Listen, man, I pretty much checked that after Friday. I'm like, I'm on vacation. I'm not checking shit.
Man, this is just build your models, read your books.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. 2 days I've been chilling. You know, I've been good. So I haven't seen any of this stuff.
From the first part, it came out during the week when it was more documents that were leaked. From the FTC stuff.
No wonder I didn't know about it.
Here's the question. Is it really a leak if it is public knowledge?
No.
It's usually considered a leak if it wasn't officially announced. So they call it a leak. So if Sony didn't say, hey, this is what we want you to know, then it's considered a leak because they didn't tell you that
they wanted you to know that. Also, the FGC thing, right? Like, as I remember, the more information came out about that, but like with the Xbox thing, that was not an actual FGC thing.
FTC.
That was FTC. It wasn't an FTC thing. It was actually a legitimate leak of early documents.
Oh, yeah, the Xbox thing was just internal. Yeah.
It was an internal one. That is actually a legit leak.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that was somebody who was sending their teams. Remember, that was the whole thing. It was their teams chat.
I think so. It's a disgruntled employee. You know.
Oh no! To be honest, I think Microsoft
had a lot of firings.
Microsoft had a shitload of firings this year. I know some folks that have worked in there, and they're like, it's not like specific people. It's just they're just cutting names.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what they did. They're just chopping names off. Yeah. So like, obviously, maybe it could be somebody who'd worked there for a bunch of years and said, "What the fuck, man? I've been you know, it's like." And they just said, fuck this shit. Yep. They still got all the emails and their thing there. And then, boom, sent it off.
Yeah, that's what I think happened.
Yeah, that's what I think.
All right, another one here from Mob Hits. With the recent email leaks of Microsoft and the way they spoke about acquisitions and other things, do you guys think Microsoft is being looked at negatively by studios and others with how Uncle Phil is running the Xbox platform?
Not really.
This is how they all talk. Only competitors.
This is how a lot of emails and stuff like that go. And again, he was talking more of a hypothetical on there. Mm-hmm. If we could get them, putting out those ideas. But again, there weren't any sort of plans on there. And then obviously, again, as we know with Japanese companies, they are not too cool with essentially being picked up by Western companies. But for some reason, they'd be okay with companies in China picking them up for some fucking reason.
Do you guys know a game studio that was purchased, a Japanese game studio? by a Western developer? Do you
Tango,
know one?
Tango no. Studio by Bethesda.
Tango?
Yeah. Tango, oh, Tango oh. Gameworks, but to be honest, like Tango Gameworks wasn't purchased by Bethesda.
Yeah, I think they went to them, didn't they?
They went to them for funding. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, that's not, that officially is not, like, that doesn't
yeah, it's not a thing, but everybody thinks it's a thing. Like, oh, Microsoft's going to buy Sega. It's like,
no,
like, come on, guys.
Like, no, the thing about it is like it and again, like they're also like will be willing to do hostile takeovers like that too. Like, who knows? You know, like where they essentially buy enough stock in a company to essentially just take over the whole thing. But you know, I don't think the companies will see Phil any differently. Yeah. All big companies probably talk like that behind the scenes. Like, hey, you know, what if we decided to get these guys? I don't know. It'd be a really good boon to our system, to get people on our system. But the one thing I have to say to these people essentially trying to boost their digital services, don't try to grow too big, too fast. Because if you are looking at what's happening in the non video game industry, you're going to see a lot of stuff happening. A lot of companies trying to bolster their system, and then essentially they're bleeding money. We're talking about you, Disney and Paramount, and all you other companies out there, essentially with your digital services, and they're pumping money, is punching billions and billions of dollars in there, and they're all fucking bleeding right now.
No, well, it's catching up to them because they thought it was all easy. They were like, oh, if we build it and put all our stuff on it, everybody would just come and sub. It's like, yeah, until they watch it all.
Yeah,
and then you're constantly making new stuff, and it's like, all right, well, this is costing a lot of money because you want to make it just like something epic,
and you're losing serious money by licensing your having other services licensing your product out on their services, you know. You know, being Disney doesn't have that, is not catching any of that Netflix money because they decided to lock every single one, most of their properties onto their thing. So there you go.
Yeah. Real quick here. Bliss says, Capcom came out today saying they would turn down any acquisition offer, including Microsoft. But you got to remember, Capcom is still owned by the original family that founded it. So they're not beholden to shareholders.
The same with Konami. They're still owned by the original family that owned them. So
yeah,
whatever business deal that they would have to do, it also have to be, they would still have to want to be involved inside of it. I don't know who's owned Sega, but
isn't it Sammy now? Sega Sammy. It's like that's
it's Sega.
Sammy, you know Sammy.
Yeah,
you. Sammy was acquired by Sega, but you see how they work, right?
Didn't they merge?
They merged. They merged exactly like right now. It's like it's supposed to be called Sega Sammy, but it's really not Sega Sammy. And you saw what happened with Namco Bandai, right?
Yeah.
You know, when they Namco and Bandai, it swapped. It was like, what was it? It was Namco Bandai, and then it turned from Bandai to Namco.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Doesn't the Saudis have stake in Capcom? I'm not sure about that, but
the Saudis, it's a lot of you know, places have you know money in these sorts of things, but also you also got to realize that companies also have control of how much of themselves they put for purchase on the market.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. They could all have, like, Tencent has their hands in almost everything, but
Tencent has hands in everything.
Yeah. Plus, there's, you know, also you can differentiate between selling Class A and Class B shares. But here's the thing I want to throw out there. No, I don't think it'll detract or change a lot of people's opinion. I think it'll actually go the opposite way. Like, you have demonstrated an avenue to financial success through selling out. And if you look at the rest of tech, there's a lot of companies that are startup. They're just building technology in the hopes that they make something valuable enough to get acquired. Like, that is the end goal. So I think that you may actually have the opposite of what you're thinking, and it won't detract so much as it'll give people something to kind of build towards. Like, some people's entire end goal will be to, like, they'd be like, I'd love to build a franchise, sell it to Microsoft, and fucking retire. There are definitely going to be those people. And now that Microsoft has demonstrated that they're willing to acquire successful things, then some people are going to angle that way. So, no, I don't think it'll detract people. I think it'll encourage people.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. Some sponsored questions. Ace Ali's Ace Ali's going to pick up two questions. So thank you for that, sir.
Oh shit.
Yeah. First one. First extra one from Mob Hits. Courtesy of Ace Ali. If an all digital Sirius X releases, will you consider this generation as being a generation that kicked off the death of physical media games? I think that already started in the PS3 era when we actually had digital games starting. You know, went fast.
That was this generation, though.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Does it mean like no hard drive? Like it's just streaming?
Yeah.
Who wants that shit? I mean, we haven't even gotten to that when it comes to streaming. So no, I would.
I will say this,
Adam. Don't you have an old digital PlayStation though?
Yeah, but I have a hard drive and I have SSDs and stuff. Yeah. I'm storing it. I'm not streaming it.
Yeah, no, but he's not talking about streaming. He's talking about just a console without a disc drive. That's what he's talking about.
Oh, that's No. I don't need that. I don't need
paper. No, he's asking if this is a generation that kicked that off.
Definitely for consoles, yes, but the idea of doing that, shoot, that's been done with music, you know, on your iPods and stuff. We were already going in that direction.
Yeah.
And yeah, I see it started, you know, the steps started being taken in the PS3 era, really kicked off last generation with like, you know, when like digital overtook physical, and now we have have consoles without disc drives, which is interesting. Remember the PlayStation Go, how that failed because you couldn't put physical games? Things are a little different now, and that was something that would be accepted, you know, because look at Steam Deck, right? You can't stick anything in there, you know, but no one's complaining about that.
That's a Hugo.
Yeah, that's a Hugo, you know? So, yeah, I understand the question. He's saying, you know, he's asking if this generation that kicked it off. I'm going to say no, because we've already been down this path, but this generation has definitely been accelerating it for sure, you know?
Yeah. Well, the problem with the Go is that the quality of the game sucked. If it were on par with what people were accustomed to, yeah, it would have been a huge hit. No one would have given the shit, but they weren't good.
No, I think people mostly were complaining because they couldn't move their back catalog.
Yeah, they wanted the UMDs and shit. Yeah.
Yep, that was the thing.
That was the main deal, yeah.
That was the thing. It's like there was no way to convert those, what your purchases into digital purchases that you could have there. No verification system. Unlike what Microsoft has, where essentially for a lot of their titles, you could just stick the disc in, it reads the disc and says, oh, hey, put it on there. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So I think this is a semantical thing. Kicked off. No, the answer is obviously no, because it's not the first attempt. But maybe normalize what would be a better term for this.
Yeah, I like that, normalized. Yeah.
Because the PSP Go is one of the forebears of kicking off these types of things. It wasn't a success, but it kicked it off. And even before that, there was traces, like Adam mentioned, with MP3s and all that stuff. So there was, traces in different mediums that, translated to gaming. But yeah, this generation is exacerbating to physical people the problem of an all day digital
people want convenience that, and they'll sacrifice over quality and others. Because think about MP3 at 128 bit. That's what it was. At least the low end, and then you go, and that sucks. That's not CD quality, but people don't give a shit. It's that convenience factor I didn't have to go to store.
You put 1,000 songs?
Exactly. There you go. I play all this shit on here. I didn't have to go anywhere. And it's the same thing. Yeah, can you get a nice box or steel case and put it on display? Yeah, you can do that. Or you could click this one button and go nowhere, and it's loaded in your... So it's like,
yo, hold up, hold up, man. This motherfucker went full Spanish. I see those plátanos and arroz con guandule. I see that shit.
Uh-oh.
I was like, hold on, this motherfucker, he's a plátanos, man, on air. We're the real Hispanic throwdown, man. Like, who was that one dude on Twitter? He was like, he learns more about Hispanic culture from throwdown than anywhere else.
Yeah, there you go, man.
And those are arroz con guandule, dude, man. What you got?
We ordered from a Puerto Rican place, so they had plátanos, they had I had all those gondolas.
Those stones, as they call them and shit.
That's those stones. I don't know.
That's what Puerto Ricans call them, you know?
By the way, that was
our... We never called it that, right?
Yeah,
no. Adam,
we call it tostones. We got
I never called it tostones. I called it plátano.
Yeah, because you hung out with me too all the time.
No, but you know, in the house.
No. I know them as both. So I know when someone says tostones, I say, you mean plátano. It's the same.
No, but it's, like whenever like my stepmom or anybody else, we just go plátano.
Yeah,
yeah. What I don't
by
like,
by the way. Jason Presti, our boy Jason Presti is the one that said that.
Shout out to him. He's like, he learns a lot about Hispanic culture from Throwdown. So there you go, man. You learn about tostones, frito verde, you know, fucking guandules.
Viva Peru.
You already know, man.
What do you know about quenepas?
Quenepas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's learning, man. Yo, I don't even remember what the question was. I got fucked up right now. We had the physical. Yeah, so yeah, incineration. I'm hungry now. Fuck, I want some platanos, man. Fuck.
I want chicharrón de pollo. That's what I want.
Oh, yeah. Man. Some mofongo and shit, man.
Oh, mofongo. Mm-hmm. With some flan. Huh?
I don't know. I don't fuck with flan, though. I don't fuck with
flan. You don't like it? It's a syrup.
Yeah, Tony doesn't care for desserts that much, and then, you know.
Flan is even worse because it's like
it's in that little that goop the sauce.
It's like snot, you know.
It's like sweet fungus. Yeah, ooh. It looks like something from like an alien planet.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I don't need that shit. Nasty. I don't even like Jell-O makers all that. Blah, 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 you know, fuck
yeah.
Jell-O is pretty good too.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
You know the only thing they didn't do with this, right? And the rice is banging. But they didn't put the little sausage in the side of it.
Oh, they don't. They fucked it up.
They didn't do it.
They don't. Why?
Not even little pieces of ham. Nothing, man.
No, none of it. It's not in there. It's just rice and the beans, and that's in the it's the brown rice.
You know how my mom makes it with the ham and shit inside of it. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move it on. Another one. Ace Ali is also sponsoring a extra one subset question here. Kind of related to the last one. Am I the only person who buys a game digitally and then looks for a physical copy in the bargain bin or eBay for cheap? Adam, there you go.
That's me.
Guadalupe.
So if you see up on top, I do that with my favorites. So I have all the divisions in steel cases. So I made sure to find them in steel cases after I got to do it. Same thing with all my Gears of Wars. I have my Metal Gears on the other side. So there's certain series of games that I will do.
Serious.
You know, because it means a lot to me. You know, so I was like, I want this. But I usually go for the steel book. Not just, I just want the game. I want the steel book, and then I'll put them up for display. But only for the ones I really want.
Mm-hmm. If I had room, I would do that for like the special games. I'm like, yeah, I want that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, no, you're not the only one that people do that shit.
No.
I think it's cool.
I don't see anything like with that, you know?
Yeah. That's cool.
One thing they should do is cut down the prices of those digital versions. You know? That's what they should do. Drop it down to PC prices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Completely random. Manny, when's Comic-Con?
Oh, Comic-Con is...
Isn't it in October?
It's like early October.
Oh, shit. Early October is like 2 weeks from now.
Maybe around the 5th. That's usually when it is. I mean, I don't know for sure because I haven't gotten any... Yeah, I'm not going. So.
You're not going at all?
No, because I don't have a spot there.
Motherfuckers. So. Yeah. I think I may go because, you know, I'm going to go in as press, you know. Well, my boss said it's cool. He's like, you don't have to cover nothing. You just sign up. I'm like, okay.
Now, what's up with DC? Are still with the holding with the strike and all that stuff?
Apparently, the strike might be over.
Well, they have because they've been in discussions all weekend.
The big deal, this happened during Throwdown. They've reached a tentative deal, so nothing yet. But they've reached, you know, with the WGA. I don't know about the actors though. But yeah, that my timeline is just nothing but that right now.
Yeah, man, can some of this stuff help us get Dune this year?
You know. Yeah, real? Can we get Dune this fucking year? Shit.
Depends. Because it's answer, all about what they have answer on the
your, side note, to answer your question, New York Comic Con is on the 12th to the 15th.
Fuck. All right, I better sign up. All right. Mm-hmm. What's up?
You're not going to be it. Isn't that when you're leaving for your trip?
Not the 15th.
Oh.
My trip is on the 20th, you know? I mean, we hear that slipping.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, Carlos, is the week of whatever the 20s are. That's when I'm leaving.
Gotcha.
And just that week. All right, moving on. Helm, Tumeke, who's been joining us all night. And Tumeke, I hope you're still there because I want to know if I got your question right here. I had to edit a little bit just for clarity, but I hope I didn't miss anything here. For each of the crew members, which fighting game and character would you want a selectable skin for? As a bonus, you could also pick select a fighter and a character for notable gaming personalities such as Uncle Phil, Aaron Greenberg, Jimbo Baggins, Shuhei Yoshida, and Hideo Kojima. Hideo Kojima was
in
loving,
what?
Just a fighting game skin. If I got the question,
the Reginator.
Right.
The Reginator.
Mm. Yeah.
I would get Scorpio, Scorpion, and put Spider-Man on him. You know, because instead of the things, it's webs, and that I think that would be pretty cool.
Okay, thank you for saying that, because now I understand the question. I was a little confused about the question. So it's like, if you could take a fighting game character and put a skin on him, who would it be? That's the question, right?
Yeah, that's how I understood
it.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, go ahead.
I would, because he's a wizard, and that all links him. Ryu with Ghost Rider. Just put the Ghost Rider with the flaming head.
To be honest, I wouldn't want to change the character. Like, it seems a little silly to me.
I'm smiling because that was my answer. I don't like skins in games, you know, because it's cheap, because the underlying main character is still there. There's nothing new about that skin. The skin is not special. So I'm like, what the fuck's the point then? You know?
Yeah.
But
here's the thing. One interesting one. So Mortal Kombat does this, where you can change out Johnny Cage for movie version of Johnny Cage, the actor that played him in the movie.
Yeah.
Obviously the normal Johnny Cage and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. But
they're all Johnny Cage. Yeah. And the voices and stuff are all different depending on those characters, but they're skins.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, because it's still the same character.
Yeah. In other words, it's you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme as Johnny Cage.
Yeah, real quick, Tumeke goes, but my question was, who would you like your own likeness on and in what game? I don't understand. What do you mean your own likeness on? You mean like myself? I don't want myself in a game. That's stupid.
He wants you.
I don't want that. No, remember, I'm the guy who I don't make custom characters look like me. The whole point of me playing games is to get immersed in a fantasy world. I'm already myself. Why the fuck do I need to be in a video game? You know. So my answer is kind of still the same. Not gonna do it.
What's the game that and this kind of pissed me off? Is it Mortal Kombat, the one that's gonna have the turtles on it? But it's just a skin.
Yeah. That's dumb.
Yeah. No. I was
Street
like
Fighter.
Street Fighter. That's right.
It's Street Fighter. Yeah. Stupid. Right.
I was like,
you know, it's still Ken.
I saw like turtles and
yeah.
But I thought it was. Yeah. I thought we looked at it. It wasn't the turtle. It was like a costume. It looks like.
Yeah.
It's a costume that goes over your character. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like a Ninja Turtle.
But it's pretty much like a skin.
It does look like a Ninja Turtle. It just,
we saw it and we all agreed. It just looks like a costume of a ninja
turtle. Yeah, it looks like a costume of a like ninja turtle wearing. Yeah.
It's not as good as the Injustice one. Remember that was.
Yeah,
no, the Injustice turtles. One actually legitimately had the turtles in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm like, you know, what's the point of putting the turtle skin over an existing character? I'd rather have a real character, you know?
I think that's dumb.
Outfit, you know? Yeah.
Over my Ryu. That was in Street Fighter V. Here's
an interesting one. In one of the Street Fighter games, what they did is they didn't put skins of other characters, but they had characters of those characters wearing the costumes of another character. So it was like, for instance, like if it was like just for the sake of conversation, I don't know if this is a real one, but they had like Blanca wearing a John Tobain costume on top of himself.
Yeah.
He's still Blanca. You still see his face and you still see his hands, but he's wearing literally a costume of that character on top of himself. Yeah.
But that's kind
of
Blanca shit now, so that's
like
fine.
Another character cosplaying of another character.
Yeah.
I forgot what game, also in that Street Fighter game, they had some other character dressed up as Felicia, but she's still that other, her character, you know, let's say Cammy, I think it was. I don't know. But they still had that, they were wearing a costume of that other character, not fully changing them.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else?
One last one. Super Smash Brothers. I would change Snake into Kojima, just to in line with a question. That'd be pretty fun.
I was thinking, like, for Snake for Super Smash Bros., what you do is you have, because you could possibly, you know, the skin for Snake could use for be multiple characters. So you can have him as Big Boss from Peace Walker, from 5, and Old Snake, right? You could also have a skin for, what is it, Revolver, Ocelot, and Liquid Snake. All of those characters sort of work on those same sort of parameters, but they never did those. For some reason, they decided to just give Snake different colored outfits.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here. Another one from Tumeke. With many publishers and developers focusing on established IPs from movies and comics due to lower risk compared to new IPs, what is a lesser known IP you'd love to see made into a game? My example is Cyberpunk Cyberpunk, which was a board game, being made into a game that people like. It's true.
And paper RPG. That's what Cyberpunk was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
Semantics.
No, but the point is, like, Cyberpunk was kind of obscure, and now it's not, you know?
That's a lot of like classically back in the day when those really cool, like, you know, like games that came out of nowhere, like Syndicate. Wasn't Syndicate a pen and paper? And wasn't Shadowrun also a pen and paper?
Yeah, I believe so.
You know, these things were already sort of, you know, nichely successful, right? And they just turned into these sorts of titles. I mean, there was a point that Dungeons & Dragons was that, right?
Yep.
You know, then you have games like Baldur's Gate and all the other games that came off of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, in the spirit of the question, so what lesser-known IP from anything would make a great video game? So this is focusing on lesser-known IPs, not big stuff. Anybody?
Adam, table tennis.
I mean, it wouldn't be table tennis. That game was already made.
It's already made.
It's out there.
He's talking about transferal of IP. So what does that mean? That means, like, you know, you can go with any one of Mike Pondsmith's other games besides Cyberpunk. Mm. You know, he had a robot mech game that he had made.
I don't know. I feel like everything's been turned into a damn game.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything like lesser known that would make a good video game, because video game adaptations in general are kind of suspect, you know? So I'm not sure. I'm guessing everybody's struggling with this question too.
I mean, you could go to Mechaton, which was a robot game, a samurai robot game that might, pen and paper game.
Remember, it doesn't have to be pen and paper games. It could be anything.
I mean, again, like these are lesser known IPs that he has, you know, they've done the rights that you could definitely kind of reinvent, you know, teenagers from outer space, stuff like that. So, you know, from comics, I mean, you could possibly do Solomon Kane. You know, Solomon Kane is the other character that the creator of Conan created.
Robert E. Howard. Yeah.
Robert E. Howard.
He has a bunch of characters that could be good.
That could easily be turned into games. And, like, he is the Monster Hunter archetype, kind of like Hellboy. So, you know,
fucking adventurer.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun.
You could theoretically make a Castlevania game out of a Solomon game.
I got one. Thank you for kind of setting me on that path, Manny. Elric of Melody Monet, like, he'd be a good, like, that would be a good RPG. Yep. I mean, The Witcher pretty much ripped off of that shit, you know, the Elric series. So there you go. Yep. That'd be a great one. You know, the anti-Conan, as it were. Michael Moorcock.
Elric was like a thin, pasty guy.
Yep.
But he did magic.
Yeah, he had a sword and everything. You know, the sword, was sentient and was murderous. And that'd be a great RPG, actually. So there you go. That's my answer, Elric.
Yeah, you can go into Elric. Like, you can, like, go into all those different weird sort of, like, old books.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot of old books. They could mine, can't they? I'm going down. Hey, Brian, any obscure franchises you think would make good games?
I don't know enough, actually, so I can't answer that.
Yeah. What about you, Brett? Any obscure franchises you think would make a good game?
I feel like if Brett doesn't have anything, then none of us would.
That's true.
Man, I'm having trouble quantifying, like, what counts as obscure.
Something that not a lot of people know about?
Well, stuff, you know, stuff that, that not a lot of people know about, Brett. Like, in other words, like, again. Tony just talked about, you know, essentially having an Elric book. Elric hasn't been a thing in years, you know. And fair, you know, it was a popular franchise, but it's not really well known.
It's
now.
Just funny how so many characters look like Elric. Like fucking, yeah, Geralt of Rivia, fucking Kane from Blood Omen. Like, a lot of characters look like him, too. It's just funny, you know.
You know the thing about that, there could be a situation where that like someone like I'm guessing with The Witcher, for that character, I think he really wanted to make an Elric character, but he obviously couldn't call it Elric. And I think for any sort of adaptations of Elric, I also think that it's not so big that, you know, obviously most people don't remember it.
Yeah. Anyway, Bray, go on. Do you have anything obscure?
I mean, I want to see, since we've, you know, seen The Witcher pave the way for novel series kind of being adapted into games, I want to see The Sword of Truth be made into a game series. That book series has a lot of stuff that I think would translate really well to games. You know, swords, magic, RPG kind of plot line, helping people out along the way. There's lots of opportunities for side quests, but there's also kind of this... you know, all like there's ancient keeps that have magic that were locked away by the wizards, and you know, you need certain abilities to be able to unlock them. So you can do some cool kind of, you know, like Zelda temples with that kind of shit. Like, I just feel like it'd make a really good transition. Plus, that book series is so goddamn dope.
Yeah, there you go. See, nice and obscure. Terry Goodkind, a very controversial author, but that Terry Goodkind is.
I mean, he's. Here's the thing, like I'm not praising the guy, I'm praising the books. There's a difference.
Yeah. But you know what it is, Brett? Anytime you kind of talk about Sword of Truth, it's always just go, oh, Terry Goodkind, you know.
Well, like George R. R. Martin isn't kind of a piece of shit. Like, come on.
Oh man.
Yeah, you say that, but then you're gonna go fucking play your Harry Potter game. Come on.
Yeah.
Yes. Terry Goodkind is kind of a douchebag. I'm pretty sure most authors throughout history kind of douchebags. I'm pretty sure an abrasive personality kind of comes part and parcel with being a writer. Kind of like alcoholism often does. Yeah. The same way being weird and nocturnal comes with being an artist, man. Like, there's just certain personality traits that come with stuff. Like Brandon Sanderson seems like an amazing guy, an amazing author, right? Like, that's great, but they can't all be Brandon Sanderson, right? We're gonna get some Terry Goodkinds in there every once in a while. Like, no, I don't want to talk to you, but I'll read your book.
Brett, not to go off topic, but did you see that fucking hit piece on Brandon Sanderson a few months ago? I'm guessing no.
What?
But okay, so some publication, I think it was Vice, they basically had this big. Well, damn, Brett didn't want to hear it about it. Never mind.
I don't want to hear that.
Never mind.
He's like, what? He's like, I'm out of here.
He's like, fuck, I don't want to hear about that shit. All right, moving on here.
Also, anything, a lot of the stuff about Harlan Ellison did, those are sort of forgotten franchises too. Like,
yeah.
You know, like.
Although they keep taking Harlan Ellison stuff and like turning it into other things, you know, kind of interesting. Yeah.
The Terminator?
I don't think that was him. Was that Harlan Ellison? I think it was. Yeah, you think
it was? No, the Matrix. It was the Matrix. Sorry,
let's look at it. But yeah, they always take stuff of his and turn it into something.
I can't remember. I think Harlan Ellison was the Terminator, because you think he has a Terminator like story. And I think also the Matrix also might have taken stuff from Harlan Ellison.
Yeah,
but you know why people stole from him? Because he's kind of a dick. he's kind of a dick, and you don't want to really pay him for the thing, so just rip him off.
Oh man. All right, and the last two questions of the night come from Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. And I have to edit these, but this is Richard, so I'm pretty sure these all read fine. The Embracer Group has had a horrible year. This is true. Which studios or IPs do you think they will get rid of next to stay afloat? Oh, the reason I'm reacting like that is because they're probably going to do that next, you know?
Yep.
Shit. Who do you think they're going to get rid of next? Who do they own right now? Didn't they get rid of Crystal Dynamics or something? Or or
no?
Yeah,
what's going on? They just recently acquired a bunch of Crystal
Dynamics. No, what did they do? Because there was news about them letting some people go from Crystal Dynamics or something. This was like
They're probably getting rid of a bunch of their leadership.
Yeah.
To be honest.
So, do you think they're going to start selling off IPs? Is that what he's also asking?
Yeah, because that's what they've already done.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they have the old Square Enix idols.
A bunch of Crystal Dynamics people got laid off a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
They own Tomb Raider. I think they own Tomb Raider and Deus Ex.
And there's another collection of Tomb Raiders coming out. You saw that? The remastered
Deus Ex is probably going to be next. Yeah.
What, like, Lord of the Rings? Cutting Deus Ex off?
More layoffs and shit.
I mean, the Deus Ex franchise is sort of, you know, after that second game, it sort of lost its momentum.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, I'd like to see somebody who really cares about that franchise sort of get it back, you know?
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? What other studios do you think are going to be affected next?
I mean, anybody who's not doing anything that they can see that's going to make them money, to be honest. Again, Embracer Group pulled a Disney and essentially started to snack up all the franchises before they had anything in development.
They have Deep Silver, right? They have Deep Silver?
They're formerly Nordic Games?
Yeah, Nordic.
Yeah, Nordic Games.
Well, to be honest. Yeah,
they, I think they do.
Yeah, they do, right? So then that means they also have the one with the Four Horsemen. Those gods, what was that called?
The Darksiders series.
I mean,
to be honest, like, you know, sell Darksiders back to Joe Madd if he wants to take it. We are at Airship Syndicate. You know.
Don't they own Gearbox?
No.
I think that was one of the studios that they were saying that was on the chopping block of studios.
Yeah, that's the one I would choose.
That's a big one.
Hmm. Well,
I thought 2K owns Gearbox. They just a pump? Remember, because when it loads up, it says 2K, and then it says Gearbox.
Somebody look that
up. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 2K.
Let's not get our information wrong here.
Yeah, let's look at that. Nope, it says owner Embracer Group.
Yeah, so I found a IGN article here. It says IGN Middle East, which is interesting. Embracer kicked off 2021 with its biggest purchase to date, acquiring Borderlands developer Gearbox for $363 million upfront. With incentives that could make the deal worth as much as $1.3 billion. Gearbox was made Embracer's seventh operating group upon its acquisition. Regarding Borderlands, 2K will still publish all the known and planned games in the series, though the IP is owned by Gearbox/Embracer.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, it's like it still says 2K. I'm playing, I tell you, with some buddies, we're playing Tiny Tina's Wonderland. It's the same thing, Gearbox and 2K. It didn't say anything about Embrace, but yeah, they own it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at Wikipedia to see what studios they own, and it's quite a lot, actually. THQ Nordic, Saber Interactive. Oh, damn. That's Deep Silver, Plyon.
World War Z, that's it.
Yeah, Gearbox is listed.
So, Brian, which one do you think might be on a chopping block?
Well, I'm sorry to say it, but I think the best way to look at it is which studio recently, as in last 2-3 years, have had games that did not meet expectations.
Deep Silver.
That's most likely on the chopping block.
Yeah, Deep Silver. Deep Silver.
Well, didn't they already let go of what happened? The Saints Row developers.
Yeah, Volition.
Volition.
Yep.
Yeah, they already let them go, right? Or
I'm not sure. I think they're gone. Volition, aren't they? Like they've closed up their doors.
Yep, they transferred to Gearbox and closed.
Yeah, so there you go.
As of August 31st.
Yeah, they shut down.
Permanently. So I guess Gearbox is safe if they transfer there. It's like, all right, you guys are going to go to Gearbox, and then 2 weeks later, while you're setting up your desk, we're done.
Embracer Group's worse than EA. Shit.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting fact: the IPs have been moved to other studios, so Red Faction and Saints Row. In theory, it is possible to get more of them in the future. But then again, in theory, it's possible to get a burnout game. But hey, Here we are.
They're doing Battlefield instead, so.
You have no idea how salty I am, Tony. Okay, yeah. Tony, you're like the only one who knows how salty I am.
I feel that same level of salt. Ugh, fucking.
Yeah, the thing about it is that they own these different studios, but they're also these studios have literally studios underneath them. Like, they're not only like Saber Interactive is only one port where they just literally they have like 3D Realms, you know, 4A Games, you know these all these other companies with underneath their umbrellas, Snapshot Games, Tripwire Interactive.
According to Wikipedia, it says as of September 2023, Embracer Group has 129 internal game studios and at least 15,000 employees and contractors.
Yeah, they need to start having some hits, yo. That's a lot of money to bleed.
Yeah, that's a lot of checks to sign every week. And I was like, yo, this is why we're going game as a service, because of this. We need one of these games to keep all you suckers employed. We need our own version of Fortnite.
Yeah. All right. And the last question here, also from Rich. Given the glowing reviews for Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty, how long do you think will be before we see the next Cyberpunk game? Also, which other notable actors or actresses would you like to see appear in the next game? We're not going to see the next game for a little bit. Although it will run on Unreal, though, because that's what they're saying.
It's going to run on Unreal now.
Yeah, that's the reason why we're not getting more expansions for the current game, because they don't want, you know, they're done with the Red Engine.
And also the other thing that they're doing is that they're also they're only having one studio be the Cyberpunk development studio.
Yeah.
So as opposed to it being main CD Projekt Red, it's going to be the studio that is the Cyberpunk studio.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't Red their own internal engine?
Yeah, the Red Engine.
So then you got to scrap the name if you're not going to be using it.
Yeah, they're using Unreal, you know?
Yeah, the red part is not, they didn't have, you know, the Red is just their name, whatever name that they are.
It was just the name of the engine.
It's just the name of the engine.
But it's called CD Projekt Red. That's the studio.
Yeah.
So change that to CG Projekt Unreal.
Well, no, they named
the engine Red after their studio. Understand?
Yeah.
They didn't name the studio after the engine.
In fact, CD Projekt Red actually didn't start as a game development studio. They kind of started as a bootleg company.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
that's their start, because essentially in where they were, a lot of games were not getting released, so they were just essentially, you know, getting games to work over there and then essentially, you know, putting them out. So. That's the dirty roots of that company.
Nice. They all got dirty. Nintendo used dirty. To make Nintendo, dirty cards.
Remember? Yeah, playing cards, yeah.
And yeah, dirty well, anyways, playing
it's, cards. They make Hanafuda cards. Hanafuda cards aren't dirty.
The one Adams gets are.
Exactly. I want Jason Statham. Put him in it. There you go. Put him in.
I don't want anybody in those.
That was my answer too. I don't want any
fucking famous people in these games.
I agree with that. It's like, you know, having what's his face, John Wick, in there in fucking Idris Elba is a little weird.
Yeah,
you know?
To be honest, it's like,
why and I like the game, but I still think it's weird. You know,
Johnny Silverhand's
storyline was great, though.
Johnny Silverhand's story, he's fine. Does Keanu Reeves add anything to that role?
Not really.
What I see there, he just does Keanu Reeves. Like, what they did to me is this. I'm like, all right, whatever. I mean, you can.
Whoa, it's like I was there.
He's like, I'm gonna rage against the machine right now, buddy.
But what do you want? Do you want him to put on a British accent or something? To be honest,
they could have gotten anybody to play that role. They didn't need to have exactly Keanu Reeves. But the only reason why Keanu Reeves is there is because he gets mass media attention.
Yeah, but if they got anybody else that was playing that type of role, and people think they're being cheap, they should have just got Keanu Reeves.
No, they wouldn't have been. They would have just been like, "Hey, that's Johnny Silverhand." Now all you see that as is, "Hey, it's Keanu Reeves."
If
as
he looks like Johnny Silverhand, if they kept with the design, if it still looked like him, change the face, but still with the mustache, the suit, the hair, people are like, "It looks like they're doing a knockoff version of John Wick."
I don't think.
I want more celebrities in all my games.
I don't think celebrities add anything to any of these games. I think they're all there really is just a media stunt. Because I'll tell you this, half these celebrities that show up in these fucking games, they do shitty ass fucking jobs.
Yeah. This is why I like
Peter. Put fucking Peter Dinklage inside your Destiny game. How well did that go, huh?
That's not his fault.
That is his fault. Because he didn't see that shit as something to actually put a fucking full performance in. He thinks he's hot shit superstar, and then they kind of cut him out of the game and replace him with Nolan North. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what happened. They have said, "Oh yeah, we couldn't get him back." It's like, no, because he fucking read it like a douchebag.
There are going to be some that don't be so good. I'm telling you, he's a great actor. Great for you. Loved him in Elf.
Now I'll say this. The guy who's really putting some shit into it was the dude who played Broyles.
Yeah.
Lance Reddick, when he's playing that character in Destiny, he's fucking good. He's playing the dude, the villain in Horizon Zero Dawn. He's doing fucking good job.
That guy does not phone it in, man.
But he's not also at the same instance, he is also not a superstar on the level of some of these people.
Yeah.
He's a character actor. So they're gonna do some serious shit.
The dude from House of Cards is on trial for sexual assault. What's his name?
Kevin Spacey.
American Pie 2. Yeah, Kevin Spacey did a fantastic job in Call of Duty, and he did all of the work. I'm telling you,
he wasn't in American Pie.
Kevin Spacey was in American Pie.
What are you talking?
No,
about?
No, he wasn't. Yeah. He's in American Beauty.
There you go.
Something Americana. We knew that.
Yeah,
and he did a fantastic job in that. In that game, so I like it. I like some of the games. Not so much. But then again, I'm not a fan of that actor. So
maybe it's a Game of Thrones thing that where it's like
it could be. I see that and I see him, and that's all I think about because I'm like, no. Jason Statham, put him in everything. I want him in all my games. He makes me happy. That's Hollywood. When I see him, I think Hollywood.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, we agree. Cyberpunk. 2078 ain't gonna come out for a while.
And it's because he's also a Brit who never does an American accent. He sticks true to who he is. He's all Brit.
Yeah.
Who, Jon Snow?
No, Jason Statham.
Oh.
Yeah. By the way, Idris Elba in Cyberpunk, he has an American accent.
Can I downvote that? Good? Show me some videos.
No, it's not good. No, it's not good at all. I'm like,
we don't need that. He didn't do it in Sonic 2. When he was in it,
he did it in The Wire.
Wait, was he out of BC?
No, I don't know. I don't remember his character's name, but yeah, he was
the guy with the what was his name? He was the one that out of BC was trying to convert out of being Muslim, right?
I don't know.
I can't answer that question.
I don't know. I've never seen that show.
That was a good show, man.
In The Wire, no,
right. He says he was in The Wire. I don't remember him being in
The Wire. No, he's definitely in The Wire.
He was in The Wire, but I don't remember him having that type of role in The Wire. I know that he tried to get like more legit by trying to move out of gang warfare.
Omar is coming. He was the best character.
The chick from Transformers voicing the vampire Mortal Kombat 1. Megan Fox?
Yeah. Nobody cared.
Yeah, nobody cared. But that's the latest celebrity stunt game thing, you know?
Yeah, to be honest, I feel like that game is the most stunty type of game.
Mortal Kombat's super stunty.
They're literally like, "Hey, look, we got the rights to Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Terminator, Freddy Krueger," and like I feel like
that's going to be Mortal Kombat. Yeah,
this would be Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
Well, Fortnite.
Fortnite, yeah, they're the king of that shit.
Fortnite has like cartoon versions of them.
Yeah,
which. Officially, you can still get skirt likeness rights if you have like a cartoony version of a character. So, if they don't look enough like the real person,
mm-hmm.
So,
like Battletoads?
What, Battletoads? They don't look
like... Were they trying to be like Ninja Turtles? And they were like, no, we're just going to change these shit.
Well, no, Battletoads wasn't... Battletoads was just a video game franchise. It wasn't actually a toy franchise.
No, but I feel like it was trying to be a knockoff of
Ninja. Oh, no, yeah. It was definitely trying to be in that era of things, you know, but it was mostly a video game franchise that never really made any toys of those. Biker Mice, you probably say, would be a more of an apt comparison. Same thing with the Toxic Crusaders cartoon. That was also sort of being Ninja Turtles. Gross out, you know, action figures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, man. That is it for the questions. Another good show.
Those questions have been thrown down.
Yes. All right. Do we have anything to plug?
We posted another episode of I'm Negan for the Daryl Dixon. That's up there on YouTube and iTunes and Spotify. We're covering episode 3. It's a French name that Carlos knows how to say. So what's the name of the episode, Carlos?
A tout le bon.
Paris, c'est toujours Paris.
Yep, that is it.
Been full French.
A tout le monde, à tous les amis.
Yeah, that's the title of the episode. Yeah. That's what it is. But it's very good. It's still good.
So
he's not gonna. He's not gonna hate on it because it's French.
I will.
It was fun. It's fun. A lot of stuff. They introduce more variants. We go into that. A few other things going on. It's fun. It's different. It's different. That's what we wanted. We wanted some crazy shit going on, and that's what's going on. So,
Daryl Dixon. Killer Nut. Killer Nuns, Baby Chalamet's in it.
didn't Robert Kirkman create a book with Killer Nuns in it?
I don't know.
Priest. It was I forgot the name.
Oh, no, I got the first episode.
Battle Pope, wasn't it?
Not Battle Pope. It was the one that they were going to make the Showtime show. Remember? And with the exorcisms and stuff like that. And it would come out of the mouth. And then go into the other person and then through the mouth.
I'm just making shit up now.
Man.
Data was
in the show. It was like 3 seasons or something like that, 2 seasons on Showtime. And that was Robert Kirkman. Yeah, with the exorcism, and they had a priest and a nun and the regular dude that just was trying to help them get rid of these demons. The dude that played Data from Star Trek.
I was thinking, right, Battle Pope.
What's the one I'm talking about? Remember the one I'm talking about? That
guy. Oh,
that's Oblivion or whatever stuff. Whatever.
No, not Oblivion.
It's not Oblivion. It starts with an O.
Yeah. Anyway, let's start signing off here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's 2 words: Throwdown Show. ThrowdownShow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
Adam, it was Outkast. Hey, yeah. See you next time, guys.
Outkast. I have that one framed in a box, but I still have the first issue of that one because I thought it was going to be a huge hit, and it got turned into a show, and then the show sucked, and then everything went to shit. So,
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vail.
Yeah, have a good week, everybody. Don't drink and drive.
Brett Murdoch.
Gotta say, Phil Spencer's assessment of AAA is based as fuck.
Yeah, which is also Sean Layden's assessment of AAA. And Brian Manjoma.
Look at me. I am the captain now.
You are the captain.
You are the captain. There you go. All right, people. We'll see you on Thursday. Later.
I am Captain Kirk. I am Captain Kirk.